In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So in our gospel reading this afternoon, there's a particular verse I'd like to draw out and pick up on. And it's that verse early in the morning while it was still dark. Now, darkness and light are important themes in John's gospel. From John's prologue, it says, "And light shining in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Through to Nicodemus visiting Jesus at night in the dark. To Jesus' claim that I am the light of the world. Mary came to the tomb while it was still dark. Perhaps she simply couldn't wait till daylight. There is no indication that she brought ointment to anoint Jesus' body. But she knew he wasn't alive. She had been there when he died in John 19:25, when all the others had fled. When she saw the stone had been rolled away, she didn't shout, "Christ is risen." She didn't assume resurrection, but she ran to tell Simon, Peter, and the other disciple in whom Jesus loved. So let's follow the theme of darkness and light. And let it teach us something about God this afternoon. But more importantly, how we should follow him as a disciple. Our gospel text opens with the statement, "Early in the morning while it was still dark." This is where the Easter story really began. This is where our Christian faith begins. It begins in the darkness. It begins with fear, bewilderment, pain, and a profound loss of certainty. The creeds, clarifications, and commentaries we cherish nowadays, but they all came later. What came first were many variations on the same theme, such as hope in the midst of struggle. And here is what happened, or what happens, when ordinary people brush up against an extraordinary God. Here's what it looks like when broken, hungry humanity encounters a bizarre and inexplicable love in the half-light of dawn, in the darkness. When I was a younger Christian, the gospel key fact for me was that Jesus rose physically, bodily, literally from the dead. As long as I believed in the historic facts of the resurrection, I felt I was safe. 30 years on, I have encountered other versions of the gospel key facts. That the resurrection of Jesus is a potent symbol of transformation. That the resurrection of Jesus is a potent symbol of renewal and rebirth this afternoon. So back to our guiding thought, back to the text and its opening statement. Early in the morning, while it was still dark. The fact is, the resurrection happened in total darkness. Sometime in the pre-dawn hours of Saturday night and Sunday morning, a great mystery transpired in secret. No sunlight illuminated the event. No human being witnessed it. And even now, 2,000 years later, no human narrative or story or explanation can contain it. Resurrection exceeds all our attempts to actually pin it down, because resurrection is a mystery known only to God. Whatever the resurrection was and is, its completeness lies in holy darkness, shielded from our natural eyes. All we can know is that somehow, in an ancient tomb on a starry night, God worked in secret to bring about life out of death. Somehow, from the heart of loss and misery, God enacted salvation. In our gospel story, Mary Magdalene sees Jesus first because she chooses to remain in the darkness. Peter and the beloved disciple leave when they see the tomb is empty, but Mary stays. She stays. She's bewildered. She's grieving. Mary remains present to what is real, to what is actually happening. She does so even when what is so real feels so unbearable. Mary Magdalene is an example for us all this afternoon. There's good reason why the church has given her the title Apostle to the Apostles. In my own life, I find it increasingly true that clarity, hope and healing comes when I'm willing to linger in the hard and the barren places. Places where the usual cliches and the usual platitudes all fall short and they fall flat. And all easy answers prove to be totally and utterly inadequate. Jesus comes in the darkness. And sometimes it takes a long time to recognize him. He doesn't look the way I expect him to look. He doesn't let me cling to my old ideas. He disappears again just as I grab hold of him. But he comes. He calls my name. And in that instant, I recognize both myself and him. This is what resurrection faith looks like this afternoon. This is what resurrection faith feels like. Resurrection faith is all about transformation. It's about renewal. It's about rebirth. And this is the model of faith Mary Magdalene is showing us. She is showing us what really, really matters. The question from our text is not, do you believe in the doctrine of the resurrection? Frankly, that is not particularly hard to believe in. But our text is asking us, it is asking us, but have you encountered the risen Christ? That's what our text is asking us. What I see in the text is individual people having profoundly individual encounters with Christ. The encounters do not look identical. Peter sees the tomb and he runs away. When the beloved disciple sees it, he believes without understanding. When Mary sees it, she weeps and she waits for more. In other words, we come to the empty tomb as ourselves, for good or for bad. But as we come, we don't shed our baggage ahead of time. Our baggage barges in with us and shapes our perceptions and our conclusions. However, what matters, what is paramount this afternoon, is encountering the risen Jesus in the particulars of our own messy life. That's what Mary shows us. What matters is finding the empty tomb and the hope we need for our own struggles, for our own losses, for our own traumas, and for our own disappointments. And our great sister, the Apostle of Apostles, Mary Magdalene, models this resurrection faith for us. Whatever universal claim we make as Christians, it must begin in the rich, fertile ground of our own hearts. It must begin with a willingness to linger in the garden, desolate and alone perhaps, listening for the sounds of our names spoken in love. For our personal faith to ring true, it must originate in a radical, intimate encounter with Jesus. The question is not, why should people in general believe, but rather, why do you believe? And the big question today is, how has the risen Christ revealed himself to you? This type of faith isn't automatic. This type of faith isn't easy. It requires risk. The risk of hanging on in hope when all else fails. The risk of sitting in the dark after someone else has run away. The risk of turning towards the one who comes and calls your name and recognizing Him for the Savior He is. Our text says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there. And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to Him, 'Rabboni.'" Often it's only in retrospect. Often it's only as we look back at the grave sides of our life that we see our own salvation. I close with a poem from R.S. Thomas. The poem's called "The Answer." R.S. Thomas describes the process this way. "There have been times when, after long on my knees, in a cold chancel, a stone has rolled from my mind. And I have looked in and seen the old questions lie folded and in a place by themselves, like the piled grave clothes of love's risen glory." Let us pray. Father God, may the Christ who rose in darkness lead us to new life, lead us to new light, and to new hope. May we know Him in the half-light lit places. May we know Him in the shadowy places, in the hard places. May we dare to linger at the tomb until He calls our names and sends us forth to share the good news with the world. And when we are asked, "Why Christian?" may our answer be honest and humble, earned and true. May everyone witness to hope and struggle braided together in our resurrection faith this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.